This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A looming political showdown at Westminster pushes the pound to 2016 flash crash levels. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Markets don't like uncertainty, but nothing is certain when it comes to UK politics and Brexit. It's the first day ministers are returning to Parliament from their summer recess, and sources in the British government say Prime Minister Boris Johnson will seek a general election if he loses a key Brexit vote tonight. Members who want to stop the UK from leaving the European Union without a deal are likely to put forward legislation forcing Mr. Johnson to postpone Brexit beyond the end of October. That sent Britain's currency down as much as 0.6% today against the U.S. dollar, which would be the lowest close since 1985. Craig Earlham is a senior market analyst at Oanda.
We've heard a lot about how much the no-deal Brexit can have a detrimental impact on the economy. We're not hearing enough about how much of an impact the uncertainty because of this prolonged process has on the economy. This is a really huge week for Brexit one way or another.
If there is a general election and the Prime Minister wins, does it give him a Brexit mandate of sorts to go back to the EU and push for renegotiations before the October 31st deadline?
If he can significantly increase the numbers that the Conservatives have in Parliament and give them a large majority based on an election campaign committed to no deal in the event that the EU doesn't agree to a deal, then yes, that gives him a strong mandate. But if he's got a majority of one or two, especially if in coalition with someone like the Brexit Party or someone else, then I think the EU will see that as a point of weakness and will continue to push back.
Still, that is a lot of ifs. What does it all mean for the UK markets and sterling? As you say, any kind of certainty could give markets more reassurance then.
Well, I think the reaction that we've seen in sterling has been quite telling, and that's at this moment in time, there doesn't seem to be a positive outcome for the pound. The three most likely options at this moment in time is that we either head towards a no deal. Another alternative, of course, is an election. And regardless of your political leaning, the markets clearly are worried about the potential of a Jeremy Corbyn government. The alternative, again, which is arguably the most positive from a market's perspective, but still not ideal, is the uncertainty of an extension and everything that doesn't bring for business and people and the economy.
Sterling dropped below 120 this morning. There's been a lot of talk about potential parity with the US dollar. Is parity likely?
I don't see it as being likely. I think what we'd have to see would not just have to be a no-deal Brexit. It would have to be the interest rate cuts, the quantitative easing that comes with it, and then it would have to be the recessions.
Craig Earlham there. Let's do the numbers. As European shares fall, more volatility in currency markets. Against the U.S. dollar, the euro touched a 28-month low as the offshore Chinese yuan hit a record low on ongoing trade uncertainty and reports U.S. and Chinese trade negotiators are unable to settle on a September meeting date. As top African business and political figures gather in Cape Town for this year's World Economic Forum on Africa, two of the continent's biggest economies, which account for almost half its economic output, have released their latest growth figures, the BBC's Matthew Davies reports.
Nigeria's economy grew by just shy of 2% in the second quarter, and South Africa's grew by 3.1% and avoided a technical recession, which is defined as two consecutive quarters of negative growth. But some economists are looking behind the numbers and claiming that sluggish growth is pulling down economic expansion in Africa as a whole. And they could have a point. South Africa continues to battle to revive its economy and the financial woes at its state-run companies. Nigeria still having trouble diversifying its oil-dependent economy. 90% of its foreign exchange earnings come from oil. And they've got problems with public spending and tax collection. Nonetheless, while the giants stumble, two of the world's fastest growing economies are in Africa, Ethiopia and Ghana. So canny investors are now starting to bypass the big economies and concentrate on opportunities elsewhere. For example, there's a lot of excitement about the proposed freeing up of the telecoms market in Ethiopia and the prospect of a new gold mining boom in Ghana. I'm the BBC's Matthew Davis for Marketplace.
UK charity Oxfam has dubbed this month Secondhand September. Zara, one of the biggest clothing brands on the planet, is striving to reduce its environmental impact and has set targets for sourcing and using fabrics more responsibly. The BBC's Darshini David reports.
Well, that hum is the sound of machines putting together hundreds of samples around the menswear floor of the Zara factory. These seamstresses here are working right by the pattern makers, who've got their instructions straight from the designers who are across the aisle. That very integrated process is part of the reason why Zara can get looks the shop floor within 3 weeks. It also means that they can cut down on waste. Over half of production still happens in Spain or in surrounding countries, which is crucial in terms of cutting down on its carbon footprint and keeping an eye on working conditions.
Pablo Isla is Zara's executive chairman.
Our approach is that in the year 2025, 100% of our cotton, 100% of our linen will be sustainable, 100% of our nylon will be recycled.
But we're buying five times as many items of clothing as we were 30 years ago. Many of the people we've spoken to are saying, if you're serious about sustainability, put the prices up, we need to buy less.
Each person is free to decide how much he or she like to buy at any point in time. Our business model is totally in line with the idea of running the company in a sustainable way.
With global demand for clothes predicted to rise by the equivalent of 500 billion T-shirts over the next decade, eco-activist Livia Firth thinks the model isn't sustainable.
Fast fashion will never, ever be sustainable. So you could use all organic cotton in that collection, but you're still producing masses and masses of volumes of rubbish.
Will consumers take up the charge? More people are going on fashion strikes, a vow not to spend. But that's overshadowed by influencers showing off their latest purchases to followers. One in six won't wear outfits again after they've been on social media.
The BBC's Darshini David reporting there. Finally, beer is the latest casualty of ongoing trade tensions. South Korean consumers are ditching Japanese products, and beer imports from Japan plunged 97% last month. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.